I've been traveling for 2 years through Southeast Asia and through Africa, and I had arrived on this small island en route back to New Zealand for my brother's wedding. This particular bay is called Tamarin Bay. It's a small fishing village on the coastline of Mauritius, just south of Port Louis. The most attractive thing about this island for me was surfing. Any surfers? One, two, ooh, yes. Yeah, two. I knew there's some surfers here in England somewhere. You're the first two. They've been hiding. There's just a little. That's one of the most attractive parts of it. Was that it was a good tube. It's a left-hand barrel. Breaking on coral reef. Had three tube sections in the waves, just letting the surfers know. And the local Creoles were very, very good fishermen, incredibly good surfers. And they're as black as you can get them, and I was as white as you can get them, but somehow we seem to get on quite well. So the fishing boats we used to take out. Now the problem with surfing is that it sometimes is flat. That means there's no waves. And so you've got to pick up something else. Windsurfing was a great substitute, but not as good as surfing. And diving. I was an instructor in scuba. I dived on many wrecks. I was a qualified lifeguard, and basically the sea would become my, I suppose, escape or my kind of major pastime. I spent more time in the water or on the water or under the water, to the point where my mother used to say, "You got fish blood in you, son. You should have been born a fish." And so I loved the ocean, and I'd done a lot of diving, but most of my diving, of course, had been during the day. But these local Creole men had taught me to dive at night. Is any night divers here? One, two, oh, there's a number of you. About five or six. For those who know nothing about night diving, I'll explain a little bit. Night diving is, so you don't think we're completely insane and all the six people who raise their hands are totally nuts. Night diving is, of course, dangerous in the sense that there are sharks out there during the best of the time. But at night, we would go out on the outer reef and we'd dive off the outer reef with the local Creole fishermen. The first time they asked me to come diving, I thought they were crazy. I said, "Why do you dive at night?" They said, "Oh, we not tell you, brother." I said, "Why not you tell me, huh?" They said, "You come diving and you see, mum." I said, okay. So I brought my diving torch because I was so fascinated, I wanted to see, and I went off diving. And the most fascinating thing was during the day, lobster and the crabs hide in the reef. But at night, a phenomena happens is that they're nocturnal scavengers. So the lobster and the crab would come out and be walking right across the top of the reef. And so your torchlight would operate just like a spotlight, and as soon as the torchlight would shine upon their eyes, the lobster would freeze. Wouldn't move. If anyone's ever done any hunting, they know what I'm talking about at night. So they'd freeze, and we would dive straight onto them with our leather gloves on, pick them up, up to the boat, throw them in. Great diving, isn't it? Seems too easy, really. But there's still a little bit of skill required in getting them, but not much. The other amazing thing about night diving is that the fish go to sleep. Remember the first time Simon, the Creole brother that taught me how to night dive and called me over, he signaled for me to come over with his torch. As I came over, here was this 15-pound parrotfish lying on its side, sound asleep. He looked at me and smiled, pulled his knife out, and bam, straight into the head. Now, I hope you're not vegetarian, so I'm sorry if you are. I was for a couple of years, but... So anyhow, I killed the fish and went straight into the head with a knife. Took it up into the boat and threw it into the boat. And Simon turned to me and he said, "Ian, make sure, when you kill fish, brother, you hit the head, huh? No good you hit the body or the blood come from fish. Shark come for you, huh? And for me, man, not so good." So he's just worried to make sure that the young, apprentice here would learn that you kill the fish, you don't wound the fish. So I learned that lesson. As I'm diving along, I remember, now the lagoon is really pretty, but when we're diving, it drops off very steeply, 30,000-40,000 fathoms in the deep ocean trenches. So we're right on the edge of a mountain, submerged mountain, basically. And I was looking out into the never-never, out into the real dark part, just fascinated to see what was out there. Well, Simon came racing over, grabbed my torchlight, dragged me to the surface, and he said, Ian, not so good. Do this with torchlight, brother. I said, why not, Simon? He said, wake up shark, huh? Well, he tuned me in pretty quickly. You know? Don't want to wake up Jaws 1, 2, and 3 out there. And so I just learned to keep my torchlight very, very restricted, like on the reef. The other thing about night diving is that the reef, the coral reef in the tropics are very sharp. And so I used to wear a wetsuit, not because the water was cold. For me, the water was very hot. But I wore a wetsuit to keep myself from being cut on the reef. When you're diving at night, it's not that easy to see everything. Your torchlight is very restricted. You don't want a broad beam. You want a very narrow one. A bit like those Star Wars movies, those Jedi swords, you know, that's what it looks like underwater. And so you didn't want to brush against the reef. So I wore a thin wetsuit, very thin wetsuit, 1 mil. But I left my forearms free. I didn't think I needed to put a full wetsuit on. It gets too hot. And so I had my wetsuit came to here. The other divers had full wetsuits on. They had full steamers, which is 3 to 4 mil, full suits, leather gloves, rubber booties, and a rubber hood. Now you wonder why? Well, they were local men. They'd been raised in the tropics, and to them it was winter. Can you believe it? It felt like the Caribbean, you know, very, very hot water, beautifully hot, but to them it was cold. Some nights they go, oh, Ian, so cold tonight. I said, Simon, you're crazy, man. And he said, no, very cold for me, huh? And we'd dive for 3 or 4 hours. We would get maybe 50, 60, sometimes 70 lobster, number of 15, maybe 20, 30 parrotfish, depending on how we did for a dive, octopus, cuttlefish, some squid. We'd come in the early hours of the morning, about 3 or 4 in the morning, wake up the chef from the local tourist hotel and begin to barter. This is their livelihood. We would bring this home. In fact, this is a dinner. I laid it out on the bench there just before he ate. About 3 in the morning, one night, this is what we'd bring home and eat. Nothing like eating fresh seafood. Love this stuff. And including octopus. And so we were living like kings, and we were basically living in the tropics for $1 a day in a 3-bedroom bungalow on the beach, $1 US, and we were eating seafood like this. The tourists are paying $100 US a night down the road at a place called Le Mans, and we're having to pay on top of that for their menu. Now, I was a traveler. I'd learned how to travel very cheaply, and I'd been doing it for 2 years. I had 4 days to go before I was to leave the island, and Simon came to me. He said, Ian, you come diving tonight, man. I said, well, maybe, Simon, we look out. I looked out into the sea, and I saw an electrical storm on the horizon. I said, Simon, not so good tonight, huh? He said, no, this one miss us, brother. Come, we go a very special place near Black River, Rivière Noire. Please come with me tonight. You see the best diving in Mauritius. Like a good fisherman, threw the bait out. I caught it, and we went diving. As we dived in this particular night, the two divers went in before me, and as I dived in, my torchlight picked up in the water this unusual-looking jellyfish. Now, it may not seem strange to you, but for me it was a little bit different in that it was box-shaped. Torpedo-shaped or bell-shaped at the top, but then underneath it, we're like it was a box shape. It's not so clear in this photo, but it's the best I could find in an encyclopedia. Unbeknown to me, this is what is called a box jellyfish. Another name for it is sea wasp. The toxin of this particular jellyfish is lethal to man. It has killed in Australia, in Darwin alone, over 70 Australians. A few years ago, it stopped a 38-year-old man in heart in 10 minutes. He was dead. Not knowing what was just swimming in front of me, in fascination, I reached out with my leather gloves and grabbed it just to see if it was a jellyfish. Sure enough, it swam off. Still not realizing that I'd just seen the second deadliest poison toxin creature go before me, I continued to dive, looking for the lobster. As I'm looking for them, something smashes into my forearm like thousands of volts of electricity. I come from a farming kind of community, and I've had many electrical shocks off the electric fences on the farms. But this felt like standing with my gumboots off on wet concrete and grabbing hold of the mains unit. A massive bolt went through my arm. I quickly turned to see what on earth had hit me. There was no obvious scar, no obvious wound, but my arm felt like it was on fire. I looked out into the water and did not see the jellyfish. Still wondering what it was, I did the next worst thing, and I rubbed it in. The only saving grace was that I put some Vaseline petroleum jelly over my forearms and face that night just to help kind of a bit of lubrication underneath my mask. So I had at least a film of petroleum jelly which offered some form of protection from the actual tentacles. What it does is that the cells explode into your blood system and it's a constrictant, and the poison then paralyzes the victim. You go into a coma and certain death. Not knowing what had happened, but knowing I'm in trouble, I start to make my way back to the boat. I get stung before I can get back to the boat and out onto the reef by three other box jellyfish. Two of them I see, two of them I don't. The local men came out, the local diver Simone came out of the water, following me onto the outer reef. It was low tide and about 2 foot covering it. As I clambered up onto the reef, I saw my arm for the first time out of the water. My arm was double its normal size, and where the tentacles had hit were like burn blisters right across my forearm. You ever burnt yourself on the stove and seen your skin swell up? Well, the whole of my arm was traced with like burn blisters. I thought, that's ridiculous. How could this thing burn your skin like that? As I'm standing there, perspiration is pouring off me, and I can feel the muscle tissue starting to react in almost in spasms as the poison goes deeper into my flesh. As I'm standing there, Simone comes out of the reef, out of the water, and stands on the reef and is walking back towards me. As I'm standing there, I can feel the poison then move up through my blood system into my armpit, and it hit my lymph node, and it felt like someone had taken their fist and smashed it into my lymphatic system. It then moved into my right lung and began to constrict my breathing. Simone looked at me and I showed him my forearm. He said, "Kisafian," and I showed him my forearm and he went, "Invisible." And I thought, invisible one. I went, "We invisible," trying to respond to what they may call this jellyfish. He went, "Invisible." I went, "Okay, that might be it." He said, "Ian, un invisible, duck, safely for you, huh?" Who understands French? Un, one. Of these jellyfish hits you, c'est fini, it's finished, all over. He turned his torchlight onto his face, and I watched his face, literally blood drain from it. He said, "Ian, how come you're not Norman? This one kill you, brother." And I'm thinking, you think white men know everything, Simon? Not know this one. He looked at me and he said, "How many, man? How many? Tuck! How many hit you, huh?" I went, "Cut, four invisible." He went, "Impossible, impossible. Allez, allez, vite moi, quatre bon hospital. Allez, Ian, allez, man." And I understood in French, he was telling me, "Quickly now, you get out of here, we go where to? Hospital." Hospital, I'm standing on an outer reef, the hospital is up behind my village, but I'm a miles away from it. He grabs me and drags me back into the water and we swim out to the boat. The other diver comes alongside me and the young kid in the boat who's keeping the boat off the reef grabs my left arm and the two other divers try and roll me into the boat. As they're rolling me into the boat, my right arm is trailing in the water. As it comes up out of the water, I hit a fifth time. I honestly remember rolling in there and thinking to myself, what on earth have I done in my life to deserve this? How many would be wondering? Do you have the term payback? You reap what you sow? As I rolled in there thinking, how could I have been so bad? I then saw flash before me some of the things that I've done wrong in my life. How many have done a few things wrong in your life? How many have got things that you're embarrassed of? That you're like skeletons in the closet. You know what I mean? Your conscience, you know you should never have done it, but you're stupid enough, somehow you ended up doing it. Okay, you may knock you down to experience, but you carry a sense of a guilt or a shame with that. Well, I saw a whole bunch of things that I'd done personally in my life that I was ashamed of and embarrassed of flash before me. Well, it didn't really help me to know that maybe I deserved some of it. They dragged the boat over the reef and pushed it into the lagoon. Simon then pushed the boat off and I said, "Simon, come with me, man. Help me, huh?" He said, "Ian, no motor. I got weight bars. Let the young boy take you to shore quickly now." And he yelled in French to the young boy. And I said, "Simon, my arm, what can I do for my forearm?" And he motioned with his finger to urinate on my forearm. And I thought, if you're going to urinate on your arm, maybe that's some form of help, but it's pretty heavy, kind of. Pretty embarrassing, too. It's the middle of the night. My wetsuit was constricting my breathing. I pulled my wetsuit off and tried to urinate on my forearm. I found myself completely dehydrated. I couldn't. When we dive, we always have a bottle of Coke or water in the bow just to try and get rid of the snorkel taste, because it's a foul taste. You're sucking on the snorkel for 3 or 4 hours. And so I grabbed it, drank it, perspiration flooded through my system, and I was able to gently urinate and rub the urine into my forearm, because I thought maybe this will nullify some of the toxin. Then I got my sweats on and I sat in the stern of the boat as quietly as possible. I knew as a lifeguard and I knew as a diver that I needed to have antitoxin and I needed hospitalization as soon as possible. I knew that if I got excited or had an adrenaline rush, what would happen is that my heart would pump my blood, which would contain the poison around me. If it hit my vital organs, I'd be dead. The poison was already moving far too quickly for me.